we're holding just past the Mishnah on Gimel and Beis. Okay, so what did we said in the Mishnah? We said that we had a case where Beis Din gave a harah, a wrong harah. Then they found out they had made a mistake, and they retracted. So then we said, now suppose later on somebody goes and follows the original ruling. Reb Shimon says he's potter. Reb Shimon says he's potter, meaning that he's covered by the korban that's brought on behalf of the tzibur, whether Beis Din had actually brought, whether it had actually been brought or not. Reb Elazar had said it's a suffix. And namely, in the sense that it's suffix, like it would depend. Was he sitting at home, or did he go over, and therefore he should have heard about it, or did he go overseas?
Oh, okay.
Reb Shimon said he's potter, meaning he's covered by the korban of the tzibur. Reb Elazar had said it's a suffix, in other words, in the sense that it really depends on what the circumstances were. What could be the case? In other words, actually, Reb Elazar says that we would actually make him make an oshim tolui. We would actually make him bring an oshim tolui, because if he was sitting at home, then he should have known about it, and therefore, if he went and did it, fine. You can argue with the suffix. He should have known. He shouldn't have known. Therefore, he should bring an oshim tolui.
Right.
And then there was a continuation of that.
That's
the general case when you have a suffix, whether you did something that's chayv chatos. The classic case is you have a piece of fat in front of you, you're not sure whether it's a chaylev or shuman, and you ate it, in that case, you wouldn't bring an oshim tolui because you're not sure. There's no issur that's kavua. Sorry, rather, the classic case is you have two pieces in front of you, one's chaylev, one's shuman, and you ate one of them, and the other one is lost, and you don't know whether you ate the chaylev or the shuman. Yeah. Okay. And then Rabbi Akiva says that in this case you should be potter, and Benazeh says, after all, why is it different than if he sits in his house? So that part between Rabbi Akiva and Benazeh we'll discuss soon. But first, let's start with Rabbi Shimon versus Rabbi Elazar. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's reasoning? Why would he say that in this case the person is potter? Again, Beis Din gave their harah. They later on realized they're mistaken, but he went and followed the original harah. Not knowing, in other words, that they had changed their mind. Hoyo versus Beis Din, because he's acting with the permission of the Beis Din. In the sense, in other words, he's following their original ruling. He didn't know that they changed their mind.
No, that's a subsequent ruling.
Exactly. He knows the original ruling, he doesn't exactly. Ikadamri, another version of that statement is Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Oima Hoyo of Shimon. Another version of it is that Shimon used to say, Kol Hora Shayotza Barov Tzibur, any Hora that was given out and spread among most of the tzibur. In other words, that most of the tzibur heard about it and started following it. Yochid oisa oisa potter. Then if a yochid follows that hara, then he is potter. Lefishal in nitna hara ela lahavchin ben shayvi lemezi. Because the purpose of the hara is, what does the hara accomplish? Is it distinguishes between shogig and mezi. This way, and so Rashi gives two explanations. One is that if he follows their hara, then we call him a shogig. And if he hadn't followed their hara, then he would be amazed. Because if he ate the chaylev not because of their hara, but because he himself decided to, as we said before, mivayit or whatever, then he would be amazed. So the hara accomplishes that we're able to distinguish between shogig and amazed. And Rashi, by the way, learns over here that Rav Shimon would say Yochid Sha'asa Baharaf based in Potter. So before we had the whole discussion whether, in fact, between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir and the Chachamim, whether a miut of the tzibur follows this Harah, are they Potter? Rashi learns over here. Rashi uses the expression Yochid Sha'asa Baharaf based in Potter, which means on the face of it that he says that Rav Shimon agrees with the opinion that we attributed before to Rav Yehuda or to Rav Meir, that's the case, whereas the Chachamim would disagree with that. You have Rishonim who learn differently, who say that Rav Shimon would agree with the Chachamim that only if the roiv of the tzibur does it are they potter from individual chatois and they just have the parhelam davar shal tzibur. He means over here that when he says yochid is a potter, he doesn't mean if he's a yochid and he turns out to be a member of the minority. He just means as a member of the majority. Anyway, so that's one explanation of Rashi, is that that's what it means that hara comes to distinguish between shogig and mezid, is, in other words, that if there is a hurrah and he mistakenly followed it, then he's a shogig. If he did it for some other reason, then he's amazed. Or the other way around, Rashi says, the other explanation, Rashi says the other way around, kind of. that shogeg would mean that he made his own shgaga. For example, he himself didn't know that it was chaylev or that it's also or what have you. Mazid over here, we would be using in the sense that he deliberately ate it. But why did he deliberately eat it? Not because he knew that it was also, but because based in paskin that it was mutter, and therefore as far as he knew, it's mutter.
And that would be qualified as
mazid. Well, it's not mazid in the usual sense of that he'd be chayev, that he'd be chayev malchus or what have you. It's mazid in the sense that therefore, in other words, he's not the classic kind of shogeg who brings his own carbon. He would be exempted with the carbon of the tzitz, says Rav Shimon. Okay, the Gemara says mazid. I have a contradiction to this idea. So you're telling me that. So you're telling me that Rav Shimon is saying that it doesn't matter. This guy didn't know that the Beis Din retracted their opinion. Nevertheless, he follows them. He's still positive. But we learn in a Braisa as follows. So now we know every year they have a Master Shekel. Everybody gives a Master Shekel, and that's used to buy the Korbanos and various other needs of the Beis Mikdash throughout the year. What happens, for example, you have something like this that happens out of the ordinary. You need this parhelam davashal tibur, for example. Where did the money for it come from? So the price says parhelam davashal tibur, or se'iri avodis kechavim, the par of the tibur that we were discussing over here, as well as the se'irim of avodah zarah, which we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, at Dapei, that if the shgaga, and if the avera b'shgaga, and this applies regardless whether it was an individual or the tzibur, or the Beis Din, made the mistake in something involving avodah zarah, then besides parim, you also have se'irim that are brought as a chatas apnimis. Again, it's a chatas where the blood is sprinkled inside the heichal, and then the whole thing is burnt outside the machna, outside Yerushalayim.
That's for
avodah zarah specifically. So what it is, in other words, if Beis Din, so you have like this. If an individual person or mute of the kahal or whatever, for example, mistakenly eats chaylev or breaks Shabbos or what have you, then they have their choice. They can bring a female sheep or a female goat.
That's with most cases,
carbon chatas, right? If the avera involved specifically avodah zarah, the person worshipped avodah zarah b'shogeg, then instead of it being either a sheep or a goat, then it would be specifically a goat. In the case of the tzibur, what it is if there's a parhelam davar to be brought, if it fits all these criteria that we've been talking about, it was the Sanhedrin and it was roiv of the tzibur and so on and so forth. If it was any other avera, chayil of Shabbos, arayis, what have you, then they bring a par. If it was avodah zarah, they bring a par and a story. So that's those are the seirim we're talking about up here.
A story
is a goat, right? Tosis points out it's a male. All carbonic tibur are always males. There's never a carbon tibur that's a female. Tosis points out, by the way, why we have par in the singular and se'ire in the plural. Tosis says because you have other kinds of se'irim also. You have the se'irim of Rosh Chodesh, you have the se'irim of the Yom Tovim. So we're used to using the expression se'irim, and therefore we mention it over here also. Okay. Anyway, so where do you get the money for these things? B'tchila govin alayan divrei Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon says what they do is they make a special collection just for that purpose. The gizbarim go around to all the people. We need to bring a parhelam davar shal tzibur. Everybody needs to contribute. That's what Reb Shimon says.
Not a lot of money.
Maybe it is. I don't know. But whatever it is. Okay, I don't know how much it is, but whatever. They go around collecting. So each person gives a prosa, fine. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, it's from a lishka, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you take it out of the money that's in the lishka of the Beis Hamikdash, the master shekels that everybody gave over there, same as all the other karmanos.
Why would they say that you have to grave it specifically outside?
In Shkolim, in the Yerushalmi and Shkolim, it mentions over there that's machlokas of whether you collect for it to begin with. The Pashtus, the idea, I don't remember exactly what it says there, but the Pashtus, the idea is, because these aren't regular korban of tibur, this is something special, this is something out of the ordinary, therefore it can't be covered by the ordinary Trumas Alishka, which was meant for the ordinary operating expenses of the Beit Mikdash. Anyway, so that's what Reb Shimon said. So the question is, Amai, so now why should Reb Shimon pater him if he did Birshus Beis, and saying that he did Birshus Beis Din? Kivin de Gavul, who once the people are coming, once the collectors are coming around collecting for a parhelam davashal tzibur, havalei hoida. Then this guy knows that Beis Din changed their mind. Because what's the case, obviously, you know, everybody knows that Beis Din was just master of a particular type of chaylev, let's say. Now,
they announced publicly parhelam?
Right. Well, that's the point. You know, a coin's Rav Shimon. You don't need a public announcement. The very fact that Gizbarim are going around and collecting.
That's in your shrine.
No. Everywhere in Eretz Yisrael. The old Jewish people. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Bashas would be everywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So they're going around collecting from everybody. Yeah. So if the guy comes to the door, we're collecting for a parahel and dollar shul tibur. Oh, what happened? Well, you know that new sack of the Sanhedrin, that this kind of chaylev is mutter, was a mistake. Then the guy knows it's a mistake. So what kind of? Yeah. The answer. Yeah. Well, that's the question. Why is Rav Shimon saying he's still potter? Because he couldn't have known. Why couldn't he have known? Right. The answer is he both same with the venture gover stam. One possibility is a gover just without specifying. They just say we're collecting for the basic mikdash without specifying. The both same with the venture lahava labor moss. So a second possibility is the guy wasn't in town when they came around collecting. So they came, they knocked on his door and he wasn't home. The boys ema, or third possibility, Rav ki idoch tana sadar. Rav may well hold like a different tana who flips around the opinion, the tanya ifcho, who learns the opinions the other way around. But chila govin lehen divir Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon emi matruma salashkein boyin. Where according to that opinion, Rav Yehuda is the one who says that they go make a special collection for the purpose, and Rav Shimon says they take from the truma salashka. Well, very well, according to that opinion, according to that version then, according to Rav Shimon, a person is not necessarily going to know they're bringing a parahel and davar shel tibur. They don't announce it. They're just going in. Yeah, they're just being taken from the lishka. So if you're around the mikdash, you know, but otherwise not. No. Okay. So those are three possibilities. I don't know. The Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara could have brought up a fourth possibility also. Let's say that Beis Din gave a psak on chaylev and another one on dam, let's say, and now they retracted one of them but not the other, and he's still following the one. I don't know. Yeah, okay. Anyway. All right. Tony, now we learn in a Braisa. Okay, so we had, in our Mishnah, we had two opinions on the subject. Again, where Beis Din changed their mind, they retracted their psak, and then the person still went and did it anyway because he didn't know. We had in the Mishnah only two opinions. We had Rav Shimon said he's potter, Rav Elazar said he's a stopper. So the Braisa is going to say there's actually three opinions. Rav Meir Mechayev, Rav Meir would make him chayev for an individual korban because that's a third opinion. We would call that Tola Ba'atmoy. We would call that We would consider it that he depended on his own opinion. We would not consider, for reasons that the Gemara is going to say soon, that we would not consider that he's depending on Beis Din. Therefore, he's chayiv his own individual korban. But Rav Shimon Poter, Rav Shimon Pater, again, because he says he is totally Beis Din. Rav Elazar, I'm a Sofik, and Rav Elazar says that it's a Sofik, and therefore he has to bring an Asham Tali.
Because it really depends.
Was he at home or was he away? Well, so that's the thing. So Rabbi Akiva goes on in the Mishnah to say that I would admit that he's more potter than chayev over here. And then Benazai argues with him, well, what's the difference between him and sitting at home? I mean, Gemara is going to say soon. We're going to talk about Medina Sayam. We're going to talk about going on a trip, et cetera. We're going to get to it shortly. Anyway, so we have three opinions. Mishum Sumchus Amru, in the name of Sumchus, they said, tolerant. That it's hanging. It depends, in other words. Now, what does that mean? What's the difference between what Rav Elazar is saying and what Sumchus is saying? Rav Yechanan, Oshem Toler Yikabinayim. The nafka minna between them is whether he brings an Oshem Toler. Because, in other words, that Rav Elazar is saying he brings an Oshem Toler. Sumchus is saying, no, it's not. You can't really say he brings an Oshem Toler. An Oshem Toler, again, is where you have, there's a known object of Issur over here. And we're not sure whether the person ate it or didn't eat it, or did it or didn't do it, or what have you. That's when you bring an Asham Tolu. Here it's not necessarily a known object of Issa. Here it's just we're not sure about the circumstances. Can it be considered that he's Tolu Ba'asmoy, or can it be considered that he's Tolu Ba'das Beis Din? So
in order to be an Asham Tolu, you would have to have committed some sort of act. But he didn't know exactly which one, if it was Mutar or Asr.
Well, but it would have to be that there was a known object over here that was Asr, and we're not sure, right? So, for example, there was a known piece of Chalev over here, and we're not sure whether he ate it or not, which is a classic case of Ashim Tolid.
We know he ate something, but we don't know if he ate the wrong one or the right one, or we're not sure if he ate at all.
No, if we don't know that he ate at all, then there's not much to tell you. No. Yeah, okay, here, let me tell you what the Rambam says about it. The halacha is actually, you can see over here the little letter over here by Rabbi Elazar on the suffix, and by Rabbi Yechon, Ashim Tolu Yikabinayu, that it means, in other words, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar, that it is Tolu, and he brings in Ashim Tolu. So the Rambam phrases it as follows. The Beis Din gave a fact to Shgaga. They realized their mistake. Anybody who follows the Hurrah after they knew brings an Ashim Tolu for reasons that the Gemara is going to say soon. So in other words, we're talking about he actually did eat this thing. We're just he did it by mistake because he thought that based in it and master it, but he hadn't checked in. As the Gemara is going to say soon, he should be finding out what news is coming from based in.
Still, he's not chayav.
No, so therefore he's chayav an Ashim Tolu. Therefore, we can't. No, in other words, we can't make him chayav a full-fledged chatas, like Rav Meir says, because, after all, he was, in a way, Tolu and Beis Din. But on the other hand, he should have asked whether there's any new rulings coming out of Beis Din. Therefore, that makes it like the suffix of whether he ate the chaylev or didn't eat the chaylev.
The fact that he himself did not inquire, that he did it on purpose, or he did it voluntarily.
No, well, whatever it is. The point is he should have asked and he didn't. Fine, but that's enough to take him away from a chatas and bring him to an Ashim Tolu. Again, a chatas, the normal case of a chatas would be he ate chaylev. Mm-hmm. An Ashim Tolu would be he's not sure whether he ate the piece of chaylev or he ate the piece of shuman that was there instead.
Right.
Here, it's a similar kind of thing. We know he ate the chaylev. The question is it because on the one hand he knew Beis Din had been master it. On the other hand, he didn't bother to check that Beis Din had after it again. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar says that therefore he brings an Ashim Tolu. Whereas Sunchos, who uses the word tolerate, says it's not even that. It's a question of should he even be bringing anything or not. So what's
more logical.
Okay, but nevertheless, the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Amr of Zeta, Mashal the Rabbi Elazar Lamar Davadoma. So Rabbi Elazar says, what's an analogy that we can give to Rabbi Elazar to understand his opinion? Adam Shachal Safak Chaleb Safak Shuman. If you have a person ate something which is Suffolk whether he ate was chaylev, Suffolk whether what he ate was shuman, and then he finds out, that's when he brings an Ashim Tolu. So here also, maybe he's Tolu ba'asme, maybe he's Tolu ba'beis din. And the Gemara continues.
No, but in that case, it's about what he ate. We don't know that in that case, specifically, there was a harah of the beis din.
Right, Tosfos makes a slight distinction that over there, only he had a suffolk. Here it's a suffolk. Over here, actually, the suffolk is for everybody because nobody knows whether... In the classic case, when he ate suffolk chaylev, suffolk shuman, nobody knows whether it's chaylev or shuman. Here, the suffolk is only for him because everybody else already heard what beis din changed their mind. Okay, so it's not exactly the same, Tosfos says, but still, it's close enough. So, the loyim boil amando amat sibur mais. See, now, needless to say, again, we discussed before the question, whether who is it that brings this parahelam davashal sibur? Is it the sibur that brings it, or is it Beis Din brings it? So, not the same thing. We haven't resolved that. So, needless to say, according to the opinion that the sibur brings the carbon, and therefore, that if they brought the korban, it becomes very public knowledge that they did. The mefarsim amilta, therefore, it becomes well known. So therefore, it's hard to call this person totally based in. Right. So therefore, you could argue maybe yes, maybe not. Ela afilu l'mandama based in mevi'in. Delay mefarsim amilta. But even according to the opinion that based in are the ones who ask, who bring the korban, which therefore is not so publicized because only based in does it. Not necessarily did all people know about it. Still, he have a shoal, have a omen line. If he had asked about it, he had the capability of asking. Why is Beis Din bringing this power? And they would tell him because they made a mistake and now they retracted it. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar can argue that therefore he might be considered Tolu ba'asme. So you could argue he could be considered Tolu ba'asme, and therefore you can make him bring an Ashim Tolu. Because in a certain sense, he was negligent by not asking. And that's the point that the Rambam phrases it. Yeah, it was in today's Rambam Perek Shlosha Prakim that since he could have asked at any time about what's new in Beis Din, and he didn't, then it's as if he has a suffix whether he was close there or not. So therefore, yeah. Therefore, not from probably. Okay. Amr of Yosef Ba'oven, V'itamer of Yosef Ba'osvita, Moshal was Sumchus Lamar Davadoma. Fine. What about with an analogy we can bring to explain Sumchus's opinion? That we la'odim shevi kaparot ben ashmoshes. Imagine you have a person brings a person has to bring a korban for kapara. Let's say, for example, a chatas. He has to bring it, and he ends. Some chos had said toluri. In other words, we're not even certain should he have to bring a korban or not. So how can we draw an analogy to that? Imagine you have a person who was chayav a chatas, but he brought it ben ashmoshes. He brought it right at the very end of the day, and we're not sure whether it was done before or after shkia. It has to, all korbanos have to be brought before shkia. If the korban is shechted, or the, for that matter, if the blood is sprinkled after shkia, then it's possible. So therefore, so now, sofik mib'od yon niskapaloi, sofik mishechashecha niskapaloi, and you would have a doubt whether the kapara, meaning the blood being sprinkled, being put on the mizbeach, occurred before or after ben ashmosh, before or after shkia.
Still shechted them until the shkia?
So Rashi points out, usually, the usual rule was that korbanos are only brought up until the time of the Tomei Chaven Arbayim. Usually, korbanos are not brought after the Tomei Chaven Arbayim. Pesach is about the only exception to that. Right. However, Rashi says, that's true. Nevertheless, though, that still wouldn't pass all the korban. It's true it shouldn't be brought after the Tomei Chaven Arbayim, but if they did it during the rest of the day, it still could be kosher. So therefore, you could have a scenario where they did it so late in the day.
That's not the halacha?
The halacha, after shkia it's definitely possible, but again, no. Okay, the usual time on a regular day, the time that they brought Tomei Chaven Arbayim was they shechted at 8.5 hours into the day and burnt it on the mizbeah and finished with the avodah of it at 9.5 hours into the day. That's why Minchas Tana is 9.5 hours into the day, represents that. After that, usually no new korbanos were being brought after that.
So 3 hours after...
So 3.5 shows manias after chatzos.
After chatzos.
So, but nevertheless, though, you still have, there's 6 shows manias from chatzos until shkia. So if during those remaining 2.5 hours, somebody were to bring a korban, it still would be kosher. So that's the case we're talking about over here. Tosfos has a bit of a problem with that. Tosfos actually learns that it would actually be kosher if they brought it after the Tomei Chaven Arbayim. And therefore, Tosfos learns that we have to be talking about, let's say, now, we know the Korban Pesach is brought after the Tomei Chaven Arbayim. What about, also, the Gemara discusses in Pesachim, imagine you have a person, for example, let's say a Zav or a Yeledes or whatever, who part of the process of their Tara is to bring a Korban. Until they bring that Korban, they're not allowed to eat Kodshim. So now what happens, let's say, for example, you had a Zav or what have you, one of those people, one of the Mechusrei Kapara, who their day for bringing their korban was Erev Pesach. They didn't have a chance to bring it in the morning. Right. Now, if they don't bring it in the afternoon, at the time of the korban Pesach, they're not going to be able to eat the korban Pesach that night because they can't eat kodesh until they bring their korban. Then we make an exception. The same way as the korban Pesach can be brought then, so can their korban in order to make them not a Mechusrei Kapara and so that they can eat kodesh.
So that rule is Midrabanan?
No, it's Midaraita.
But we still make an exception for the korban Pesach.
That we make an exception for the korban Pesach, the Gemara tells us in the Gemara actually tells us in Pesachim is actually we actually learn from a pasuk. So this concept that we would bring the korbanos for the Mechusrei Kippurim is also the same kind of thing. Anyway, so the point is, Tosfos says maybe that's what we're talking about over here. Be that as it may, anyway, the point is that you have this person, the korban was, the blood was sprinkled on the mizbeach close to shkia. We're not sure whether before or after. Shein may be Ashram Tolu. He's not going to bring an Ashram Tolu for that. In fact, he might not even bring a korban after all of that at all, because you can't bring a korban if his korban was kosher, he can't bring another korban, because you can't bring a second korban for the same thing. Let's say again, for example, he was a Zav.
Right.
So let's say, for example, he brought his korban.
Right.
So now, if we're not sure whether his korban is kosher or not,
we
can't have him bring another korban. You can't bring a korban. You can't, most korbanos you can't bring on suffix. So the only kind that you can is certain is a chata sa'ik, an oil sa'ik. Okay, so maybe a Zav is not. Okay, the truth is many of these Mechusrei Kapara, actually, they could bring birds afterwards, and birds you're able to bring ala sa'ik. An oil you can bring any time, you can bring an oil even voluntarily, and a chata, so you can bring chata sa'ik, you can bring ala sa'ik. So maybe, okay, the point is we're not going to make him bring an Asham Tali. So the same logic over here, some course is going to say you're not going to make him bring an Asham Tali. So that's an analogy for some course. An Ashramtali would be a ram.
A ram.
And that you don't bring it for a sophic. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it itself is a sophic, but if you have a sophic, whether to bring an Ashramtali or not, you don't get it. Okay. And the Gemara continues, and now, according to Sumchus, needless to say, if we say that Beis Din are the ones who bring the carbon, then needless to say, it's not so public knowledge that the carbon was brought and that they retracted.
Right.
So then Sumchus would say there's a much stronger reason to think that he might still be considered Torah Beis Din, and therefore that he should be Potter. Ella, even according to the opinion that the Sibu brings the carbon, the Mifarsim Milsa, where it becomes more public, Vahavu Amrinlay, and therefore people would have told him if he had asked about it. Nevertheless, Vahavu Amrinlay, Dahaka, the Suffolk, and Radium, Suffolk, Meshach HaShecha, and people would tell him that it was that it was like this case of the carbon, whether it was a Suffolk, whether it was before or after Shkia. Nevertheless, not necessarily. Sumchus could say it didn't necessarily occur to him to ask why people are bringing. He might not have found anybody who knows to be able to ask. Therefore, Sumchus says you have strong reason to think that we should pass him from a carbon altogether.
Because not necessarily was
he expected to go and start asking around and finding people. So therefore, you could argue that there's more reason to ponder him, according to Sumchus. Again, Rabbi Elazar would say not. He's expected to ask any time what new is coming out from Beis Din. Maybe that's why I don't know why the Rambam passes things like Rabbi Elazar. Maybe because Rabbi Elazar is in the Mishnah and Sumchus is not, or maybe because Rabbi Elazar's reasoning sounds more logical. I don't know. Anyway. We said in the Mishnah, Amalei ben Azay Maishna min Ayoshev. We said that
so
the halacha again is like Rabbi Akiva. That's Sophic. That's Sophic, and therefore you have to bring an Ashram Tavu. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Akiva agrees in this case that he's Kodav Lepter, that he's more likely to be considered Potter. And ben Azay says to him, why is it different than somebody sitting in his house? And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva answers him. The difference is, if you're sitting at home, you could have heard the news. If you're traveling, you couldn't have heard the news.
Right.
So the question is, Shapir Kamalei Rabbi Akiva Ben Azay. Rabbi Akiva is saying something very sensible. How could Ben Azay think differently? Ben Azay is smart enough to realize that distinction.
If he was there versus not there,
right? Amar Rabbi Hechsek Baderech Ikebinayu. Yes, you're right. But if he was actually out of town, even Ben Azay would agree he's Potter. The nafkamina between them would be, what if he started he started preparing for his trip? He's already getting ready to go. So according to Ben Azai, he would be chayev to hold the vase because he's still at home, and he could have thought to ask around.
Agreed, if he's on the road, then he's pasur.
Yeah. But if he's hechsik baderech, the only
there,
day, yeah. But if he's starting to go on the road, but he's still in the city. So Ben Azay will argue that that's not reason enough to pastor him. He's still in the city. He could have asked. But Rabbi Akiva Potter Gaha Hechsek Baderech, whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, he'll be Potter because after all, he did start going on the road and therefore he's already busy with his trip. So he can't wait around all the time. You never know. News is always going to happen. No, he planned this trip already. As he's driving through the streets of Brooklyn on his way to the Verrazano Bridge, then the news starts coming around. But he's not necessarily, while he's driving over there, while he's busy with his trip, he's not necessarily expected to be asking around what news is coming out of it. But he didn't necessarily hear. That's the whole point. If he heard, then there's nothing to talk about. We're talking about he didn't hear that they retracted. And so Rabbi Akiva is going to say, you don't expect him to hear in cases like that. So therefore he's Potter. In fact, the Rambam uses the expression Hanivha Lofes, like he's eager to go, like he's already packing up his car and going.
Like he went to Israel.
Yeah. All right. Mishnah said Hurdle based in Lakar is called Group.
So
that's our Lofes. Okay, the second part of the Mishnah had continued. That there's a distinction. What kind of hara Beis Din gave? Was it that they said that we're uprooting an entire mitzvah, or was it that they're saying we're a certain detail of it doesn't apply? So we said if it was a whole goof, then it doesn't. Then there's no power halam davishal tzibur. If it was only a mitzvah, then yeah. So a hara Beis Din lacha is called goof.
There's none because nobody would do it.
Well, so hold on. We'll see. Tanarabanan, we learn in a braisa. How do we know this concept? The pasuk says v'nelam dover. If a matter is hidden from them, implying dover means some part of it. V'loisha ya'okra mitzvah kula. Not the entire mitzvah is uprooted. Case that. What does that mean? Omru ein nida batora ein shabbos batora ein avodas kachavim batora. Let's say the Sanhedrin paskin that there's no din of nida in the Torah. There's no din of shabbos in the Torah. There's no din of avodazara in the Torah. Yachu yu chayov, and you would think they would be chayev for the par helam dover shal tzibur. No, Talmud Loimar, the nelam dover. No, therefore the pasuk says a matter is hidden, implying a matter meaning part of it. V'lo shetet alam mitzvah kula, not that the whole mitzvah is hidden from them. Therefore, harei l'ptur, and therefore they dover cannot be a whole mitzvah. It means part of it, right?
Part of it.
Yeah. So the Malvim has an explanation along the lines of that, and we're going to have a braisa soon that kind of goes back and forth on this. He has an explanation along the lines of that dover sometimes, it depends whether you're talking a positive or a negative sentence. In a positive sentence, dover means the whole thing. In a negative sentence, it can mean any part of it. Like lois sasu dover doesn't mean don't do the whole thing. It means don't do anything.
Don't do anything.
So therefore, so over here also. Yeah, so over here, it can mean, yeah, so it means some part of it. Okay. But let's say, as we had the examples in the Mishnah, let's say they said, sure, there was a mitzvah of nida in the Torah, you know, lots of relations with her, but only a full-fledged nida, not a shemeres yem k'neged yom, not where she had 1 day or 2 days of bleeding during her yemei ziva, during the 11 days between yemei nida and yemei nida.
So
shemeres yom
means what?
Shemeres yom k'neged yom. Okay, you have to remember there's midaraisa, and then there's the way we do things nowadays. The way we do things nowadays is a combination of the halachas of nida and zava. That's a whole different. That's a whole different ballgame. We'll deal with that in the second nida, God Hashem. But midaraisa, you have like this. There's a period of 7 days of nidus. After that is 11 days of zivos. So 11 days during which we don't expect her to have any uterine bleeding. If she does, if there's 1 or 2 days of that, then what she has to have is 1 clean day after that, and then she can go to the mitzvah, and she's mitzvah to her husband.
That's during the ziva.
That's during the yemei ziva. So let's say, for example, a woman's cycle begins 1 year Rosh Chodesh Nissan.
Right.
So the first 7 days, from Rosh Chodesh Nissan till Zayin Nissan, are yemei nida. After that, from Ches Nissan through Yud Ches Nissan, are her yemei ziva. If any time during those 11 days she has 1 day of bleeding or 2 days of bleeding, so let's say, for example, it happened on Ches Nissen, she has, and on Ches and Tes Nissen, let's say, she has bleeding, then what she has to do is she has to make sure that Yud Nissen is a Yom Tohar, is a day with no bleeding. Then she can Tovel at the end of the day, and she's Mutter to her husband.
What do we say? Just 4 days of Ziva instead of seven?
We never said there's only 4 days. Oh, what? Where do you get four days?
7 days of ziva.
11 days of ziva.
11 days.
11 days of ziva. Okay. In other words, any time during that period, ches through yud ches nissen, if she has this 1 or 2 days of bleeding, then she needs to be a shemeres yom k'neged yom. If she has 3 or more days of bleeding, then she's a zav of doyla. Then she needs 7 clean days.
Okay. But that's less than 3 days.
Less than 3 days. She only needs 1 clean day.
1 clean day.
Right. And okay. So let's say that, again, so let's say that the Sanhedrin paskin, that a nida, sure, you're not allowed to have relations with her. Aval abal shemeres yom k'neged yom poter. But if you were to have relations with a shemeres yom k'neged yom on that.
Which means she's in a ziva.
So during her yemei ziva, she had, let's say, 1 or 2 days of bleeding. So again, ches nissen, she had bleeding, ches nissen, she had bleeding. Yud nissen, the whole day has to be clean. Then at the evening following yud nissen, she's able to go to the mikvah. If the Sanhedrin were to paskin that you're allowed to have relations with her on Ches or Tes or Yud Nissen, that would be an example of the kind of thing that we're talking about, where they're uprooting part of the mitzvah, but not the whole thing, right? Yeah. Or Yes Shabbos Batora, Aval Amotzim Rishos HaYachad Rishos HaRavim Potter. Another example, let's say the Sanhedrin said, of course, there's a mitzvah of Shabbos in the Torah. However, if somebody carries from Rishos HaYachad to Rishos HaRavim Potter, that would be another example of Dover. Or yes, avodas kachav matar da avla mishtachle potter. A third example is they say, of course, there's a mitzvah of avodah zara, but we're paskening that if you bow to avodah zara, you potter. Whereas the other kind of avodah,
it's almost like the whole mitzvah.
No, not really. Well, we'll see soon. Wait. Okay. Yachol yukturin. So you would think in that case they should be potter from the par helam davar shel tzibur, and the individuals who followed their hadar should have to bring their own carbon. No, tamad leimer v'nelam davar v'lo kol aguf. Therefore, the pasuk says that a davar, a matter, is hidden from them, implying not the whole guf. And here, only a matter is hidden from them. Okay. Now let's analyze the braisa. Omar yachol yukturin. So we started by saying that you would think that you would think that if they that if they paskin, for example, that the Shemer Siyam Kineged Yoyim is Mutter, or Hamotzi Mirushos L'Rushos is Mutter, etc. So we said, Yachol Yehuv Turin. I don't understand. Like Brigamar says, even Kiyum Mitzvahs or Bittul Mitzvahs Turin. If you're telling me that in that kind of case they're Potter, or Akiris Kolag Guf Turin, and we established earlier in the Braisa that if they uproot the entire Mitzvah, they say there's no Mitzvah Shabbos or Nidah or whatever, they're also Potter. B'may Chayovin, and what is the Tana of the Braisa? What does he think? What case does he think they'd be Chayev then? Why is he saying it? In the first part of the Braisa, we're saying if they're Oiker, the whole Dover, the whole Guf, then they're Potter. In the second part of the Braisa, you would say, you think. So you would think that if they were Oiker, only part of it, they're also Potter. Well, then what is the Tana of the Braisa think? What's the case they'd be Chayev? The answer is Tana Hochi Kokashala. Yes, but the Tana of the Braisa, his question is as follows. Ema Dover Kula Milta Mashma. Maybe not. Maybe our initial assumption is incorrect. Maybe Dover does not mean a part of it. Maybe it means the entire thing. Again, if it's a positive sentence, as the Malbim says, then Dover can mean the entire thing. And therefore, you would say maybe the other way around. Therefore, in other words, the second half of the Braisa is arguing maybe as follows. How do you know that maybe it's the other way around? Maybe if they said there's no mitzvah of Shabbos in the Torah, then there was a parah halam davar shel tzibur. But if they said there's a mitzvah of Shabbos, but there's no issur of hitzah, then they would be possible. Yes. Yeah. And the answer is, talmud maim of v'nealam davar. So the question is, my mashma, where do you get from the word v'nealam davar that it means specifically only a part? If the Tana or the Braisa is wondering whether it means a part or the whole thing. Amar ola koribe v'nealam mi davar. So Ula says, because we can take the word v'nealam davar and we can take the mem at the end of the word v'nealam and attach it to the word davar. In other words, therefore, so what we get is v'nealam mi davar. This is a type of drasha. The mem can serve two words, yes. And therefore, it's a type of drasha called gurdin or meisifin v'darshin. We take a letter off one word, we attach it to another word, and we darshin the result. We had that in Baba Basra. It's called gurdin or meisifin v'darshin. Mepharshim explained that basically we only do that in a place where otherwise the wording of the pasuk, there's a question, why does the pasuk have to be worded that way? In this case, the pasuk could have worded it differently.
And
then therefore we're able to dashen it. So therefore it means mi dover, some of the dover. So therefore it means only part of it. Chizkiya says, here's a different language for it. Amar krova also achas mikol mitzvot. The pasuk says if they do one of all the mitzvot, implying mikol mitzvot, but like kol mitzvot. So implying only of all the mitzvahs. It's part of the same pasuk. V'ne'alam davar me'enah kol, that the kohol made a mistake, but also achas mikol mitzvahs, and they did one of the mitzvahs of Hashem that shouldn't be done. In other words, they were over an avera. But the expression mikol mitzvahs implies v'loy kol mitzvahs, implying not the entire mitzvahs. So the question is mitzvah tarti mashma. Yes, but the word mitzvah is plural. So shouldn't it mean, in other words, so out of the 613 mitzvahs, they were oiker one or more of them. They were totally, let's say. And they left the other 612 intact. Maybe that's what it means.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. The answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok mitzvah. But Rav Nachman Yitzchok said, yes, but the way it's spelled, mem tzadik vav sof, can also be read as mitzvah in the singular. And therefore, we can learn it that way, and therefore understand. We call mitzvah that they didn't, that they only uprooted part of all of a mitzvah, not the entire mitzvah. Rav Ashi says, here's another way we can
it's
learn.
Written in the Torah mitzvah.
Mem tzadik vav sof. Remember, in the Torah, in the Sefer Torah. Yeah, in the Sefer Torah, there's no Nekudas, though, remember, yeah. Rav Ashi says, here's another way of explaining it. Yalef dover dover mizokin mamri. We can learn it by exeda shava. From the word dover in connection, here we have v'nealam dover, and by the Zokin Mamre it says also that he says over there, dover actually yigidu l'cha, that you shouldn't turn away from the matter that the Sanhedrin tells you to the right or the left. So therefore, d'chtid be v'zokin mamre ki polimim called dover. So the pasuk says by him, if a dover is hidden from you, lo yisosim in a dover, actually yigidu l'cha yom in his mouth, so you shouldn't turn away. No, hold on, let me make you zera shava. So don't turn away from the dover that they tell you left or right. Therefore, mam mamre mina dover, but I call dover, just by the zakin mamre. If he contradicts them on an entire mitzvah, if he claims, for example, that his understanding is there's no mitzvah of Shabbos or what have you, then he's not a zakin mamre. Then he's a stamina amare. But if he's oiker part of it and keeps part of it, Then he becomes a zaken mamre. So mam mamre mina dover, like called dover, just like by a zaken mamre, it's only part of the thing, not the whole thing. The same thing over here. It's only if the Sanhedrin uproots part of it, not the whole thing. All right.
So
So we have three different ways of learning the source. Either that we take the mem and attach it to the word dover and have mi dover, or that we say mitzvah, we call mitzvah, or that we say we have a zera shava from Zuckerman. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, further Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, Ein Beistin Chayoven Ad Sheyoda B'Dover She'en Asdrukin Mordin Bay. Beistin is only going to be chayav for this carbon only if what they rule is on something that the Tzedukim don't admit to. Now we know that Tzedukim only believe in Torah Shabbat. So therefore, if there's a mitzvah, or as we're going to see, a detail of a mitzvah that even the Tzedukim agree is binding Minat Torah, and the Sanhedrin mistakenly rules on it, that's not considered a hurrah. That would make a parhelim davar shal tzibur. Alvad davar shal tzedukim moedin by pturin. If something that the Tzedukim admit to, then they're potter from the carbon. My timer. Now why is that? Zil kore be'rabu, because then we can't really consider that a mistake. That's something you could open up a chumash. That zil kore be'rabu means literally go and read it in cheder. And it was even the cheder kids who learn chumash know this. So therefore, you can't really consider that a true shogun. It's tantamount to amazed because they should know better. They should know how to look in the psukim. Now, how does that fit, by the way, with this before about oikum mitzvahs and mekayim mitzvahs and mekayim mitzvahs? Some of the Rishonim learn that they're actually the same thing, basically, that it's just two different ways of phrasing the same thing. We're going to give examples soon in the Gemara that the mitzvah that the Sanhedrin has to be master is something that the Tzedukim wouldn't admit to. Other Rishonim seem to learn that they're actually two different, that they're two different things. You can have, the mitzvah itself has to be something that Tzedukim mordin by. So let's say, for example, an example would be Nisach HaMayim, but in any case, it has to be something involving Kores, and Nisach HaMayim doesn't involve Kores, so I don't know what would be an example. Any mitzvah that involves Kores that the Tzedukim, let's say, wouldn't admit to. Maybe an example would be a person being mezaneh with his daughter, which isn't written explicitly in the pasuk.
We agree with that.
I don't know. I mean, it's not written explicitly in a pasuk. We learned in Yevamos a couple of different lemudim how, and actually in Sanhedrin we learned a couple of different lemudim how exactly we know the concept. So maybe, I don't know, but whatever. So it has to be, according to that way of looking at it, there's two different things. Number one, it has to be only a part of the mitzvah, not the whole thing. And number two, it has to be davar she'en asdrukin moedin bo. So according to that way of looking at it, which I think is the Rambam's way, it's two different criteria. According to Tosfos, it's two ways of expressing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But you don't need both, according to
Tosfos? No, it's just two ways of expressing the same thing. Okay, so now let's look at our Mishnah and see if we can make that fit with this. Yesh nidah b'Torah. So we learned in the Mishnah the first example was that if the Sanhedrin says, yes, there's a mitzvah of nidah in the Torah, but we said that suppose the Sanhedrin says, yes, if you have relations with a nidah, you're chayiv, but if you have relations with a shemer siyam k'neged yom, then you're not. V'amai, shemer siyam k'neged yom haktiv. Shemer siyam k'neged yom, it says in the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'safra la, she should count for herself, melamed sheseferes echad la'echad, which means that she has to count one day in corresponding to one tamei day. Even the Tzedukim presumably would agree with that.
Because it's in the Torah.
It's interesting, by the way, I was thinking, you know, the Gemara could have just said, how do we know what the Tzedukim agree to and what they don't? Go ask the Tzedukim. But the Gemara would rather be able to prove it from within the Torah itself. Yeah. Okay. So
it's not that.
So it can't be. The answer is the Amri ha ro sharya gma biyohu dasir. Yes, but let's say, for example, Beis Din mistakenly says, yes, if you have full relations, the Gmar Bia with a Shemer Siyam K'neged Yom, that would be awesome. But Hara, the initial stage of Bia, the initial stage of penetration, that would be Mutter. So that would be, maybe that's something that the Tzedukim don't agree to. Right. Question is, Hanami Ksiv, that's Makora Hera. Yes, but Hara, it also says in the Pasuk, the Pasuk says in connection with a Nidah, that he uncovered her Mokker, her womb. In other words, that's Hara, that's the first stage of, the first stage of Bia. And therefore, presumably, the Tzedukim should agree with that. Okay, the answer is Dami Kedarka Asir or Shalai Kedarka Shalya. Fine, let's try another possibility. Let's say the Sanhedrin mistakenly says that with a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, all that's also, or with a Nidah for that matter, all that's also is via Kedarka, but not Shalai Kedarka. Okay, the question is, how did Mishka Ve'isha? Yes, but the concept of via Shalai Kedarka. Sharia, yeah.
So
maybe the Sanhedrin mistakenly passed in that via Shaloi Kedarka, with a nidder or with a shemeres get connected yoyim, let's say, is mutter. Yeah. No, that still doesn't work either. That still doesn't work with what Shmuel is saying. Hoksid mishkeve isha. The pasuk says, how do we know the concept of bi'ef kedauka and shaloi kedauka being the same for most purposes in the Torah? Because it uses the expression by a zachar mishkeve isha, implying that there are two mishkaves, both ways are considered mishkav. And again, presumably the Dukim would agree with that also. Now, the amri kedauka also afila hara. Fine, but let's say the Sanhedrin makes a distinction as follows. They say, if it's kedauka, then yes, it's also even hara. Definitely gmar bia, but even hara. Because fine, because hara it says in a pasuk. The shaloi kedauka, but they would argue, they would think to say, if the bia is shaloi kedauka, gmar bia hu de osur, only the gmar bia would be osur. Aval hara shalya, but hara would be mutter. And after all, where do you have the word hara in connection with esma kora, her womb, which is not shaloi kedauka? So therefore, you would think to say that So that could be a case where davar she'ein hatzdukin moedim, right? So therefore, we can still make shmul din work. Okay, so the question is, in that case, why is the Mishnah and the Braita making a distinction between a Nidah and a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom? This kind of distinction could work within a Nidah as well. The Tzedukim, again, would say that Hara by a Nidah is, but the Tzedukim would say that Hara Kedauka by a Nidah is also, but Shaloi Kedauka, they would agree, Bia Shaloi Kedauka is Bia, but no, they would agree if they're my Bia, but not if it's Hara.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Ela la'olam kedauka. No, rather, let's go back to, never mind kedauka and shaloi kedauka. Let's say that the Beis Din paskin by a shemeres yom keneged yom, that hara is mutter kedauka. Why, what about, wouldn't tzedukim agree to that? No. Uda amri hara b'isha dover u'dechtiva. The tzedukim would argue and say that, no, where does it say the word hara, as makoda hara, is in connection with a woman who is nida, V'isha she'ishkav is isha dava. Dava means Rashi explains on the pasuk, dava means either sick or flowing, whatever, meaning that she's a nida. Only there does it say the word hara. We have in Torah Shabbat Peh, we learn that the same applies to all arayas, so therefore it applies to Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, it applies to all other arayas as well. The Tzedukim don't necessarily agree to that. So therefore you could have, again, based in as paskin, that nida is completely off limits. Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, you've allowed hara, because they mistakenly thought that hara only applies to isha dava, only to a nida, and there you have. There you have. Shmuel's din would work. Okay. Or another possibility. Never mind. Kedarka or shaloi kedarka. Never mind hara or gmar bia. You could have a different kind of mistake the Sanhedrin could have made. The amri zava like have you ella be a mummy. There could be a case where they say that a woman is only a zava if the bleeding took place by day. Dichtiv kol yemei zava, because the pasuk says all the days of her zivus.
And they interpret that.
And then, so the halacha is whether by day or by night. As a matter of fact, actually, it's interesting that this that we're saying over here, that Sanhedrin could conceivably make such a mistake, it's almost the last thing in Shaf, on the last Amud of Nida, right before it finishes off with a piece of Agadta about Tamar Chacham and Marim Shalom Ba'olam, or whatever it is over there exactly. But right before that is something like this, where one of the Amudoyim asks, how do we know that it applies both by day and by night? And I think Rava explains the same from a pasuk. So, what does he say? Al nidasa samach nidasa, or whatever. When we get to nida, at the end of the cycle, Baruch Hashem, we'll see about it. There's also an interesting sikha that Abba talks about the deeper idea behind it. But anyway, the point is that you could have, again, the Sanhedrin may have made such a mistake. They may have mistakenly said that she's only a nida if she has bleeding by day. Dichtiv kol yemei zova. So again, the Tzedukim would say that. It would say exactly that. Therefore, that could be. You're keeping part of the goof and taking away part of the goof, because you're saying that Zava, Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, or full Zava, only applies if the bleeding was by day. You're saying that Nida, that would be Dava, and the Tzedukim don't admit to it. How about the next one? How about we have the second case in the Mishnah? Suppose that Beis Din says, we know that Shabbos exists in the Torah, but we're paskening that you're allowed to take from one Rishus to another. So again, the question is, why, according to Shmuel, that's not a Dava Shein HaTzuk and Moedim Boi, because the Tzukim do agree that Haitzah Bachnos, that Haitzah is a Malach. It says in the pasuk, Loi Seitziu Masim Vatechem. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah, actually, where he tells them, don't carry anything out of your houses. So okay, it's in Yirmiyah, it's not Chumash, but still, okay, the Tzedukim accept the whole Tanakh.
Okay.
So fine. Other Rishonim, though, have a different girsa over here. They don't have the girsa of Loisei Tiyu Masim Mosechem. They bring a different pasuk. The pasuk says, Al Yeisei Ishmi Mekoimo, from which we learn that it means also don't carry out. Anyway, so then that's a double Shatzuk and Moedim Boy. Okay, the answer is Damri Hotzahu Da'asu Achnosim Mutter. Fine. One case could be that the Sanhedrin mistakenly said, you're not allowed to take out from Rishus Yachid into Rishus Rabbin. But you're allowed to bring in from Rosh Hashanah Adam, in from Rosh Hashanah Yochid. The Pasuk doesn't say it. The Pasuk doesn't say anything about bringing in. It says, Lo Yisei Tziu. Or it says, Al Yisei Ishmi Mekoimo. It doesn't say anything about bringing in.
So they would say,
so, okay. So the Tzedukim would argue that there's a distinction. If the Sanhedrin passed in that way, then yeah. The Ibo is saying, or another possibility, Da'amri Hotzah V'Achnosah Hu Da'asira. Let's say Beis Din said, sure, both Hotzah and Achnosah are Osir, but Moshe, V'Zorek Shari, but you're allowed to hand something to somebody else across the width of Rishus Rabbim, like from one porch to another, or Zorek, or throwing things, or not, actually across the width of Rishus Rabbim is another thing, that's actually, no, let's say rather, in Shabbos it talks about, let's say you have two porches on the same side of the street, rather. You have the handing from one to the other, there's handing from one to the other, there's throwing from one to the other. So let's say based in Paschim, such things on Mutter. When they're not, that would be an example of the Mekayim Mitzvah, and Mavasa Mitzvah, and it's something that the Tzedukim wouldn't agree to, because it doesn't say anything in the Pasuk about throwing things or handing things.
From one
Rosh Hashanah. Right. So we look, right, well, that's actually across the Rosh Hashanah from one porch to another. No, I mean, you can also have a case, you hand something to somebody through a window or whatever out to Rosh Hashanah, and whatever. The point is that it's something that Tzedukim wouldn't agree to, because then they're in a positive. Okay. All right. How about the third example in our Mishnah? We said that if Beis Din says there is Avodah Zarah in the Torah, that you're not allowed to worship, Aval Mishtach V'Potzer, but if a person bows to his Potzer, so the question is, V'Amai HaMishtach V'Hoksiva? Bowing down to an Avodah Zarah, it says explicitly in the Pasuk you're not allowed to do. Dichtiv Lo Yishtach V'Lekeilacha, so don't bow to another god. Today is Kriya.
Right.
So, yeah. Okay, the answer is the Amri Kiyah Sire Yishtach V'Yah Kedarka. Fine, but let's say, for example, the Beis Din were to paskin, that the kind of bowing that is, no, the kind of bowing that's also is when it's the usual way of worshipping the Avodah Zarah. We learned in Sanhedrin and also in Avodah Zarah, remember that there's often a distinction between the normal way of worshipping an Avodah Zarah and not.
Right.
So therefore, suppose that Beis Din were to mistakenly say, let's say, for example, a Pa'ur or Merkulot, which people don't normally bow to, that you're allowed to bow to them. So that would be an example of Dovah Shein Atzidukim Moedim. Or another possibility, that even within bowing itself, even to a type of Avodah Zarah where bowing is normally done, you could kedarka hu da'asir, where it would be also where it's kedarka, but they would argue ispa pishit yadayim raglayim ha'ishtachavaya. They would say only if you bow down with the hands and feet outstretched, so spread out flat on the floor, ha'ishtachavaya, that would be considered bowing, which in the pasuk you have, actually. Rashi brings a pasuk, for example, by Lloyd, with the malachim over there, by ishtachu apayim arsa, he bowed with his face to the ground. So we see that bowing involves...
How did he do that?
By the malachim, when the malachim came and stood.
He bowed to them?
He bowed to them out of respect, yes. So therefore we see that ishtachavaya... No, it's not, so he wasn't bowing to them as an avodah zarah, he's bowing to them out of honor, out of respect. Anyway, so the point is we see that ishtachava implies pishat yadayim raglayim, implies fully spread out on the hands and feet, on the floor. They would think, ha ishtachavaya the left for pishat yadayim raglayim shalya, they would think that maybe a ishtachavaya that does not involve spreading out the hands and feet, but just let's say, for example, getting down on all fours, like we do by Kodim on Yom Kippur, maybe they would argue shalya, that's mutter. And again, the Tzedukim would say exactly that. So therefore, it's not a davar she'en ha'tzedukim moedibay, and it is mekayim mitzvah from avakal mitzvah, because they're saying most kinds of avodah zarah are osur, and even flat out on the floor in front of avodah zarah is also osur, but getting down on all fours is mutter. So that would fit the definition. So that still works with Shmuel Din. Now, boy Rav Yosef, ein charisha b'shabbos mahu. So now, so Rav Yosef asked the question like this: what if Beis Din were to say there's no issue of plowing on Shabbos? Now, Rashi says that the question is not within this Dover Shatzuk and Mojim by thing. He's going back to this Bittul Mitzvah Tekiyah Mitzvah. He's saying like this. We said before it has to be that you're keeping part of the Mitzvah and uprooting part of the Mitzvah. Mm-hmm. If the Beis Din were to say that an entire Malacha doesn't exist, is that considered Bittul Mitzvah Tekiyah Mitzvah or not? So nothing to do with the Tzedukim Moedim Bo or not. And in fact, Mefarshim point out, even though now you have a pasuk that says V'chodesh V'chotzer Tishbo, again, it was in today's Kriya, that you have a pasuk that says that you're not allowed that you have to rest from plowing and planting. But they could understand it to mean during the plowing season and during the planting season, and all year round, you have to keep Shabbos. They wouldn't necessarily understand it to mean an issue against plowing and planting on Shabbos itself.
They would understand it throughout the rest?
They would understand when it says that the Sheshes Yomim Tavta Masecha, what was the lashon in the pasuk? That the Sheshes Yomim Tavta Vayimashvi Tishbos, Bechorot to Tishbos,
right.
6 days you should work, 7th day you should rest. In plowing and in harvesting, you should rest. They might understand it to mean, not that you're not allowed to plow and harvest on Shabbos, but Shabbos applies even during the plowing season, which is the winter time, and even during the harvest season, which is the summertime. In other words, Shabbos is all year round. Shabbos exists. Shabbos is every.
How can it be?
No. Every 7 days, all year round.
Okay.
Yeah.
As opposed to
saying that plowing and planting themselves are malachos that are also on Shabbos.
Oh.
Yeah. That's how some mafarshim them that way. I think the Tosfos Rosh brings that over here. Tosfos over here at the bottom says differently. They say that the Tzedukim would agree that Harisha is Osir.
But it would not fit with the cycle of Shabbos, basically, you're saying.
No, well, that's how the Tosfos Rosh is saying. That they would say the word B'chorosh of Akotzer Tishbos just come to teach us what times of year does Shabbos apply. He brings from the Rama. That's what it might mean. Tosfos says different. Tosfos says
would believe that if it's not Harisha,
they would say that Harisha is Mutar on Shabbos.
Right.
According to the Rama.
Outside the cycle.
No, not outside the cycle. Harisha is not a malacha on Shabbos. The pasuk is just telling you should know what times of year does Shabbos apply. It's not like the Yom only in a certain season. Shabbos is every 7 days throughout the year. But you would be allowed to plant on. You would be allowed to plow on it. So can say. Mm-hmm. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos at the bottom of it, he learns that Rabbi Yosef isn't specifically asking about plowing. He's using plowing because that's the first of the 39 malachas.
Right.
He means other malacha that the Tzedukim wouldn't admit to, like writing, let's say, or sewing, or what have you. He wouldn't be talking about plowing because, yes, given that pasuk, because of the cult of Tishbos, the Tzedukim would agree that it is a malacha. And then, a third way of looking at it, some of the Rishonim learn, is that maybe the Torah with the Rosh says over here, is that maybe Rabbi Yosef disagrees with Shmuel. Maybe he says it doesn't matter whether the Tzedukim admit it or not. Okay, anyway, so Rabbi Yosef asks the question, what if the Sanhedrin says there's no issue of plowing on Shabbos? Ma. Do we say, since they admit that all the other malachas exist, then that's the equivalent of vitul mitzvah v'kiyum mitzvah, and therefore a parahelam dover will be brought?
Or maybe not.
Yeah, given to akray and leva harisha kolikar, since they're taking out plowing altogether and saying it's not a malacha at all, kakiras guf dummy, maybe that's considered like taking away the whole guf. Toshma, come, let's prove from a brisa, or actually from our Mishnah. Yesh nidavatar, we gave an example in our Mishnah, that if the Sanhedrin said there is a concept of nidah, aval, abal, shemera siyam kinegad yom potter, but if a person were to have relations with a shemera siyam kinegad yom he'd be potter, you have to ask, v'amai. Now, why should that make them chayiv in the korban, in the parhelam dover shal tibur? Ha'akrayim l'shemera siyam kinegad yom kolikar. They're taking away the whole concept of shemera siyam kinegad yom. And yet you see that they do. So by the same logic, if they're taking away the whole concept of plowing, then yes, that could all be done. Yes. So Rabbi Yosef can say not necessarily. We talked at the end of Amud Aleph, we mentioned what's the specific case of Shemeres Yom Kneged Yom that Beis Din passed on, either that they mistakenly think it only applies if the bleeding was by day, not by night, or that they said the whole thing, Kedauka, Shalai Kedauka, or whatever, all the various answers that we had over there, that they argued maybe that that maybe Hara is Musr, or maybe it only applies. So Rabbi Yosef can say, I can use those same answers also. It doesn't have to be that they said Shemeres Yom Kineged Yom as a whole doesn't exist. Yeah. Toshma, yes, Shabbos, Batar, Aval, Amotim, Rishas, Yochad, Rishas, Adam, Potter. Come, let's prove from the next part of the Mishnah. They said, if there is Shabbos, but you're allowed to carry out from one Rishas to another. Again, Vamai. Now, if you're going to say that if they take away a whole Malacha, then it's not going to not considered bittul mitzvahs, v'kiyum mitzvahs, then why should they be chai of the korban? They're taking away the whole malacha of Haitzah. That's one of the 39 malachas. Again, the answer
they
is possible. They shouldn't be
high
of the carbon. If we argue, again, if Joseph is arguing, maybe there's a possibility that if they're ochre one whole malacha, then it's considered like being ochre an entire group, an entire body of halacha. Therefore, they shouldn't be high of the carbon. Well, we see over here that they can be ochre hotzah. Okay, the answer is Hossam Nami Kedashanyan. Again, we can answer, like we said before, that maybe they said hotzah is also achnasa is mutter, or they said that... They said Moshit and Zorik or Moser, whatever. So we have ways where they didn't say that Hutzal as a whole doesn't exist.
Part of it, right.
Tashma, yes, I've heard it's Matar Avam Shtakla Potter. Come through, let's take the third case in the Mishnah. They said there is a Vodazara in the Torah, but if somebody bows to his Potter. Again, if you're going to argue that if they're Oiker an entire section of a mitzvah, and it's considered like they're being oker the whole thing. They've taken away shtachavaya, which is a basic thing of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The answer is Amri, shtachavaya nami kedishanyan. Okay, shtachavaya also, we can use the same answer that they said, that only if you spread out on the ground, not if you're on hands and knees, only if it's kedarka, not if it's shaloi kedarka. So there, again, there's weevil over there, yeah. Right. So again, so none of those contradictory views. So we don't really have a proof one way or the other to Rabbi Yosef's, on Rabbi Yosef's question then. However, the Rambam actually passes according to the way that says that it will be considered, that it will be considered Oikah Mixtas V'Kiyum Mixtas, and therefore the Parahelam Davar Shal Sibah will be brought. So the Mepharshim have a...
stated as halacha.
The Rambam brings it as halacha. Yeah, so the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, the Lacha Mishnah, have a... Yeah, where does the Rambam get it from if the Gemara left it unresolved? So the Kesef Mishnah mentions maybe that maybe what the Rama means is they would bring it ala Sofik. Maybe they would say if we really have to bring it, then this is the parahalam davar shal tzibur, and if not, then bring it as an adava.
But the
Kesef Mishnah uses that for a couple of other cases that the Rambam passed and things in these connections. But that's a little hard to say because you can't really bring a chatas as an adava. They talk about other problems. Not a chatas of an animal. No, only a chatas. Yeah. No, but you could bring it as an adava, but you can't really bring a chatas as an adava, that's the thing. But maybe there's a distinction between a regular chatas and a chatas of nimis, whatever. Anyway, another possibility is just that the Rambam had a different gusa in the Gemara over here, because the Gemara continues with another question of Reb Zera. Maybe the Rambam tied together Reb Yosef's question and Reb Zera's question with an imtim tzoloimar, and we know whenever you have an imtim tzoloimar in the Gemara, then the Rambam passes it like it.
Okay.
So,
if
the Gemara has, what's the din in this case? Is it this or it's this? The imtim tzoloima this, then what about in this case? The Rambam will almost always pass them like the imtim tzoloima. Okay. Boy, Reb Zera asked another question. What about if based in Paskin, ain't Shabbos b'shvius, Mahu? What if based in Paskin that Shabbos doesn't exist during the Shemitah year? Mahu.
Why would they talk about
The Maito, what would have been the mistake they could have made? The Pasuk we quoted before, Bahajain Krub, the Chodesh of Akasu Tishbos, the Pasuk that we said, in plowing and planting and in harvesting, you should rest. So they would understand. So they would understand. So they would understand it mistakenly to mean times when plowing and planting takes place during the other 6 years, then Shabbos exists. Right. Or was Manda Leka Charisha Leka Shabbos? I mean, there's no plowing during Shemitah year, then there's no Shabbos. By the way, I forgot to mention before, in connection with the question of whether the Tzedukim agree that's not stupid, but it could happen. People can make mistakes. But and I was going to say before, in connection with what we were saying about asking whether the Tzedukim, whether the different Rishonim that talk about whether the Tzedukim agree that plowing on Shabbos is a malacha, I forgot to mention the Ebenezer, I think, brings on the pasuk that you have the Toroim, who are the offshoot of the Tzedukim. They held that Harisha over here is a euphemism for having relations. So they held that having relations, we find that there's other places in Tzedukim where we find. So that therefore they learned that you're not allowed to have relations on Shabbos. Yeah. Okay. So do we say, well, since the Sanhedrin is admitting that Shabbos continues to exist during the other six years of the Shemitah cycle, kibitul mixtus v'kiyum mixtus dami, maybe that's considered like bitul mixtus v'kiyum mixtus, and therefore a parhalam davar shal tzibah will be brought. They're saying that Shabbos exists 6 out of every 7 years.
That could be
a davar. Or maybe since they're uprooting Shabbos altogether during Shemitah, maybe that's the equivalent of taking away an entire mitzvah. So Ravina says, come, I'll bring a proof from as follows. We learned in the Sanhedrin, Navi shenis nabi lako dover medivre Torah chayev. If a Navi gives a nevuah to completely uproot a mitzvah, so he was originally a Navi emes, and now, he was originally a Navi emes, but now he gave a nevuah that a certain mitzvah never exists anymore. Then we know he's a Navi Sheker and he's Chayav Mitzvah. But libito mixtus lakim. That's what if he gives a nevuah that some of a mitzvah should be kept and some of it should be overridden. Rav Shimon Omer Potter. So Rav Shimon will say that he's Potter because, and that's the halacha, by the way, because then he's a true Navi, because if a known true Navi tells us to temporarily suspend a certain mitzvah, then we follow him.
That's temporary.
That's what we're saying. Lebatel mitzvah.
No, lebatel could mean permanently.
Okay. So, but Rashi says over here, Rav Shimon Potter, v'hu adin the Rabbanan. Both Rav Shimon and the Rabbanan will agree he's Potter. Because in other words, bittul mixtus or kiyum mixtus again means time wise. That's what we're going to say.
Uval, no, because it says bittul and kiyum, it's bittul for a while.
No, that's what we're going to figure out. Hold on. Uva avodas kechavim. On the other hand, if it comes to avodah zara, then that's an exception. Even if he says Hashem told me that today you should worship avodah zara and tomorrow you should not, chayev, then he's still chayev mitza, because then he's definitely a navi sheker. There will never be an exception for avodah zara, even temporarily. Shmamina, so we see from that in this connection, Ein Shabbos b'Shviyas, Kibitzel Mitzvah, Sakir Mitzvah, Zami. So we see from this, saying that there's no Shabbos doing Shmita is the equivalent of Bitzel Mitzvah, Sakir Mitzvah. Because again, what do we mean when the Navi said, Levatel Mitzvah, Sakir Mitzvah? It does not mean, like you were asking completely, that this detail never applies again. B'chlal, if a Navi, as a Navi, paskins a din in the Torah, he's automatically a Navi Shekhar. His job is to give Nevuah from Hashem. But if he says temporarily this mitzvah needs to be suspended on orders from Hashem, then yes. So that's what we're saying over here. So that if Sanhedrin is saying therefore that so that Shabbos is suspended for 1 year out of every seven, that would be bittul mitzvah or kiyum mitzvah. Just like if the Navi says that, let's say for example, the mitzvah to not bring karbonas outside the Beit Hamikdash, that's suspended now, like a Eliyahu
b'Har HaKol. That would suspend.
Fine.
To say that he would suspend Shabbos for a year?
If, let's say, yes, then that would be, we'd have to listen to him.
But the Torah says it's Davarism.
But the Torah also says that you're not allowed to bring Korbanos outside the Beit HaMikdash, and Eliyahu did just that, Bahar HaKamel. So a true Navi, if he tells us temporarily to suspend a certain mitzvah, then we follow him.
But not Shabbos.
Even Shabbos. Or Avodah Zarah is the only exception.
The Torah says Shabbos is...
The Torah also says you can't bring Korbanos. The Torah also says that bringing Korbanos outside of the Beit HaMikdash is called Korbanos. But there
has nothing to do with
Shabbos. No. Hold on. If the Navi says from now on there's never to be Shabbos doing Shemitah, that would make him a Navi Shekhar.
Right.
Because then he's changing halacha.
Right.
But if he says, Hashem told me that for this year we should not be observing Shabbos, yes, we listen to him. Yeah. Because it's temporary. Shmamina, so that proves it. By the way, I mean, before on Daf Gimel, when the Gemara brought...
Would he obligated to do melachas on Shabbos?
Well, I don't know if you're obligated to do malacha, but at least you're not. You know, again, like we said before, just because the Sanhedrin passed on something as mutter doesn't mean you have to do it. But at least it means, before, when we talked before on Daf Gimel about when the Gemara brought the idea over there about the Kohol was only the people in Eretz Yisrael and brought in that connection a pasuk involving the dedication of the Beit Mikdash, that I think the Rogachover says actually it's not just a nice thing that we have the word Kohol and we find the drasha over there. He says that actually we have an actual psak din like that was made to temporarily suspend a mitzvah. Namely, that we know during the Yemei HaMiluyim of the first Beit Mikdash, Yom Kippur came out during them, and it was decided that year that they should eat on Yom Kippur as part of the celebration. So there you have an example of an actual hadrah involving the kohol, which was to suspend the mitzvah temporarily.
And that's because
Hashem told the Nevi'im of that time that that's what should be done.
To suspend Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Where does it say that?
So it says that they celebrated for 7 days, beginning on Zayin Tishrei, and that necessarily includes Yom Kippur. As Gemara mentions in Mod Katan, that they ate and drank on Yom Kippur, and they were concerned, were we allowed to do that? And a Bastel came out and said that yes. Mishnah says, Hodu Beis Din. Now, if Beis Din...
There would be a lot of people questioning that today.
Okay. Hodu Beis Din.
Does that mean, by the way, that...
Well, I mean...
...the Beis HaMikdash Khan is going to be the same?
Not necessarily as the dedication, if it's going to be at the same time.
No,
maybe not.
If
it is, then I guess it is the Nevi'im of that time. That's all by Hashem, then yeah. I don't know. Okay. Mishnah says, Hodu Beis Din. If the Beis Din gave a Hodah, the Yoda Echa Man Shato, and one member of the Beis Din knew that they were mistaken, but Amalahan Toyonah, then he told them, you're mistaken, you can't call that a full-fledged Hodah, because it has to be that all of them were unanimous, we said before. Actually, Mephoshim asked that we slogged that up before, but still, they have a few different answers. One of them is that Rabbi Yonason over there was talking about when you just have like an ad hoc, 100 people gathered together to Paskin, you were talking about the regular Sanhedrin of 71, whatever. Anyway, there's a few different answers. or the mufla, the top member of the Sanhedrin, the one that all of them learned from, usually he would be the av beis din, if he wasn't there, if he was out of town, let's say, so he didn't join or one of the members of the Sanhedrin was a ger, or a mamzer, or a nosin, or an old person who's not capable of having children. Some mafarshim learn that's one thing. In other words, that is, he's too old to have children anymore. Other mafarshim learn it's too. So was all of those apostle to be on the Sanhedrin? Rashi says over here, I don't understand why he should be apostle, an old person. Elsewhere, the Gemara talks about the reason is because an old person who's already past the age of having children of his own, he doesn't remember what Rachmanos is. A Beis Din, we know, have to have the maximum possible Rachmanos.
Has children already?
So that's the thing. If some Rishonim learn that Zaken She'en Le'Bonim is one thing, it means there's an old person who is too old, who doesn't have children and is too old to have them now. Others learn that it's two different things. He's old, he got old, or he never had, or even if he's young, but he never had children. One idea is because then he won't have enough as much Rachmanus in a case of Din and Nefashos, whatever it is, anyway. All such people are apostle for the Beis Din. So even in other words, they were mistakenly or illegally or whatever appointed. Nevertheless, Harei's apostle. In that case, Beis Din will be apostle from the Korban because not a proper Beis Din. It's not a duly constituted Beis Din. Shenema can Ada, Venemal Alan Ada, because it says over here that the Ada made a mistake. Elsewhere, it's not an Ada. Well, elsewhere it says in connection with Sanhedrin, it says, V'shoftu Ada V'yitzilu Ada. So therefore, Ma Ada Hamur Lahalan Kulan Ruyin Lahira, just like elsewhere when it talks about Sanhedrin and describes them as Ada, means all of them have to be capable of giving Hira. Af Ada Hamur Kanachi Kulan Ruyin Lahira, so it has to be over here also, and over here one of them doesn't belong on the Beis Din. Okay. Well, so the question is, the Gemara says, Oshaloi Haya Mufla shall Beis Din Sham Menolon. Where do we get this idea that if the Mufla is not there, that it shouldn't be considered a Hira? After all of them are capable of Hira. We're not talking about there was a Ger or a Mamzer or what have you on there. Fine, but the mufla isn't there. Why does that prevent anything? Amr of Sheshet, the Chaintan of Rabbi Shmuel, that of Sheshet says, and so it was also taught in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Mifnei Ma Amru, let's consider as follows. Mifnei Ma Amru, why is it we said on Amr Aleph, Horu B'Dovashat Tzedukin Moedin B'Kturin, that if the Sanhedrin Paskin mistakenly on something which even the Tzedukin would agree to, is Potter, we said Mifnei Shahi Elohim Lumad V'Lo Lamdu, because they could have learned the Potter and they didn't. Well then, loy hoy mufla shall based in shamnami turn by the same logic. If the mufla wasn't there, and by the way, even if the mufla is, Rashi points out, even if the mufla himself is for whatever reason not a member of the Sanhedrin himself, but he is the top person that everybody goes to ask him. Like even the members of the Sanhedrin need to ask him shiloh. So if he's not there, then there will be.
Give me an example of such a person. Who is not the Rosh of the Beis Din, but everybody goes to ask him questions.
I don't know. I can't think of an example nowadays. But let's say, for example, you can have, for example, so you have, let's say, that person happens to be a Zokin, or a Mamzer, or a Balmum, or whatever we learned in the Sanhedrin. So therefore he can't sit on the Sanhedrin, but nevertheless, he's such a great Chacham that they all need to come and ask him whenever they have a doubt about something. That's the Mufla. So why, if he's not there, does it not apply? Again, because again, they should have learned from him and they didn't. In other words, if he's not around and they're not sure about what the din is, instead of paskening the din, wait till he gets back and then ask him and then clarify with him. The fact that you didn't means you can't really consider that a shoygig on the part of Beis Din. Like we said on Amud Aleph, it's almost part of lamezid. It's carelessness on their part to not do that. Therefore, they would be kosher from the parahalam davar shel sibur, and anybody who followed them would be chayiv individually. Okay, we said in the mission, Nemah Shem Eda V'Nemah Kan Eda, Adshiyu Kulin Ru'uyin Lahira. We said that the Eda, in the word Eda implies from the Zeta Shava, means that they all have to be Ru'uyin Lahira. The Vahasa Manolam, so in general, how do we know the word Eda elsewhere about the Sanhedrin? How do we know it means they all have to be Ru'uyin Lahira? Vahasam, over there, when we say that you have the Pasuk Eda, the Shaftu Eda, the Silo Eda, etc., that it means that they have to all be capable of Hira, where do you know that from itself? It doesn't say anything about that over there. The answer is the Amr of Chista, Amr Krabis, Yasu Sham Imach. The reason is, Chista says, because the Pasuk says, when Moshe set up the original Sanhedrin, it says they should stand there with you, and Imach implies B'Doim and Loch, means they have to be similar to you. So therefore, they have to be Roy Lahira. Yeah, Imach means, no, there's a difference between Im and S, where one just means standing with him, and the other one means similar to him. So it means they have to be similar to him in a certain sense. Therefore, Moshe was Roy Lahira. He was capable of giving Hira, obviously. And he wasn't a Zokin or a Mamzer or what have you. Therefore, neither can they be. So the question is, imach l'shchina, why? Maybe it means they have to be similar to Moshe in order that the Shechina should rest on them, because that's what happened when they were appointed, as it says in Parashat Baaloscha. No, so that doesn't work. Elo amar amnach v'itzach, amar krov anasu itzach. No, but you have a different pasuk when it says when the Sanhedrin was appointed.
Because they don't give her being close to
Shechina. In other words, because you could argue, maybe what it means is you need people who have to be. No, maybe what it means is they should stand next to you, they should stand near you in order that they should be able to have the Shechina rest on them. So they have to be tzaddikim gemurim, Rashi says.
So they would be.
No, but that doesn't prove that for all future generations where the Shechina doesn't rest on them, that they have to be of Moshe's caliber.
Right.
So that doesn't work. Elo amrim nachmi itzach, amar krov, anasu itzach. No, but you have a different pasuk that it says when the Sanhedrin was appointed, when judges were appointed at the suggestion of Yisrael, it says they should bear the burden of the people with you. And again, the word itzach means b'doyman loch, means they have to be similar to you. So they all have to be capable of sitting on a basin. They also be Roy Lahara, therefore that's where we see that if one of them is not Roy Lahara, or he's disqualified from the basin, such as for being a Ger or a Zokin or what have you, then it's not an Ada,
no.
And if it's not an Ada, then the Din doesn't apply.
But not the Shechina itself.
Now, never mind whether they're Roy for the Shechina, as long as they're Roy to sit on the basin.
Why do we have to bring the Shechina?
We were asking that when it says in Baha'loiska, when Hashem tells him, gather 70 Skenim, Eskali Shivamish Mizikneh Om, and have them imach, maybe that doesn't mean they have to be similar to you. Maybe it doesn't mean they have to be similar to you. Maybe it just means they have to be next to you in order that the Shechina will rest on them.
Right.
Or, Rashi says a second explanation, maybe it means they have to be tzaddikim gemurim, not necessarily doesn't mean they can't be gerim or what have you. Yeah. So therefore, the second answer, that v'natu itach means v'dayim.
Can gerim be tzaddikim gemurim?
Why not?
I don't know.
Actually, speaking of gerim sitting on a base bin, you have an interesting discussion they have as far as Shmaya Valtalian. Some of the Rishonim learned that they themselves were Gerim. And in that case, how are they sitting on a base din?
Right.
So one answer is because there was nobody else available. There was nobody on their level at that time. However, many Rishonim learned they weren't themselves Gerim. They were only Bnei Gerim. And in that case, fine. That's different.
That's fine.
That's different. Okay.
Bnei Gerim
can sit on a base din, yeah. As long as Imam Yisrael, as long as their mother is a born Jewish woman, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know
no, I didn't.